The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he had heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask me, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not want to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. The girl brought in the head on a platter and gave it. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have first on this feast of the beheading of John the Baptist a great contrast between John the Baptist's courage and Herod's cowardice. John the Baptist had always been incredibly courageous. He was the precursor, the forerunner of the Lord in birth, in public ministry, and here in death. He was bound, just like he knew in the lives of all the prophets, Jeremiah, who we had in the first reading, and all the rest, that to preach the word of God was a death sentence, because there would be people who wouldn't want to receive that message, wouldn't want to change, and so that they wouldn't hear the message, they would execute the messenger. And it happened over and over again. Yet John the Baptist courageously went out to call the people to conversion. He called Herod to conversion. Herod had married his sister-in-law. She was also his niece at the same time because of all the intricate interrelations in that family. And it was absolutely right for John the Baptist to say, "It is not right for you to have your brother's wife." And that enraged her because Herodias was trying to move up in the world. She was trying to get the cushiest type of life. She was trying to get ahead. But John the Baptist was willing to pay that price. Herod, on the other hand, just think about how debauched this man was, how weakened. On his birthday, as a birthday party, he has his own Miley Cyrus in the family go out and do a naked dance before all his drunken courtiers. Think about that. His stepdaughter, also his great niece, lustfully engaging all the drunken men around the court. And Herod himself, so weakened was he, weakened that he would marry incestuously his own brother's wife, delighted in the dance of his stepdaughter. He was as turned on as anybody. And he makes this promise, "I will give you anything you ask, up to half my kingdom." What a birthday present from the birthday boy to somebody else. What if Salome had come forward and said, "I want your head on a platter"? I want you to commit suicide. I want you to murder all your soldiers. But he had made a presence, he had made a promise, he had made an oath. And when this girl came in and asked for the head of John the Baptist as the main course of a birthday party. Happy birthday to you. Herod knows that there was something wicked about this, even in his day. But because he was too weak, he couldn't do the right thing even then. So gave exactly what she asked, even though it was wrong. What a huge contrast between the two. John the Baptist's strength, Herod's weakness. But we don't want to just keep it there. What was the source of John the Baptist's strength? What was the source of Herod's weakness? John the Baptist's strength came from his relationship with God. He knew that the words that the Lord had said to him were not just words, that if he were going to be calling other people to conversion and holiness, he first had to be living a converted life and a holy life. That explains why he had gone out into the desert, not just to do penance for his own stuff, but to do reparation for everybody. That's why he lived an abstemious life, eating wild locusts and honey out there, dressing in camel's hair, tied with a gourd. It's not the only way to live a converted life, but here was a man who took seriously that in order to preach anything, you first needed to practice it. And he was doing it before he told others to make straight the paths of the Lord. He had made straight the paths of the Lord. Herod, on the other hand, had prepared for murder by lust. There's always a connection. Once we basically try to say, I don't care about God's commands and I'm just going to gratify myself, whatever desires I have, whatever itches I have, I've got to scratch. He had prepared for his ultimate weakness by many instances of moral weakness. And when push came to shove, he would behead an innocent man after having paraded lustfully around a stepdaughter. Wow. I remember a few years ago at the Foxy Lady on Pope Island in New Bedford. There was that terrible murder that took place. I wrote an editorial and it bothered a lot of people. But I talked about the connection between breaking the sixth commandment and breaking the fifth commandment. We see it, for example, here. We see it in the life of King David, that after he had multiply broken the sixth commandment, lusting after Bathsheba, sleeping with Bathsheba, trying to lie and fake out her husband Uriah, he ended up calling for the murder of one of his most loyal soldiers. Likewise, at that Foxy Lady, once we started to get into all of these sexual sins, it wasn't a huge leap for people to just say, over. We've got to face it in our culture. Are we going to have the courage of a John the Baptist? Or are we going to have the cowardice of a Herod? All around us, people are in unlawful marriages. We've got a whole culture yesterday that tries to trump the beautiful 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's great and inspiring speech by saying what Martin Luther King was really fighting for was unrestricted access to abortion, which would have made him bleach, or same-sex marriage, which would have made Martin Luther King bleach. No. But for us as Catholics, there are a lot of people who just want to go along. The conservative blogosphere, Catholic conservative blogosphere, is up in arms because of an essay written over the course of the last weekend. It's one in a series done by a guy that I know, Joseph Bottom, who basically says, I think we've lost the battle on same-sex marriage, so let's just change the subject. Let's just admit we lost. Let's just go on to something else. There are so many other things that we have to fight for. While we know in faith, and this is something we have to remember, as St. Paul says, that those who live this lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are we going to let the politically correct choir that's constantly persecuting, totally intolerant, shut us up, who are going to be courageous like John the Baptist, not finger wagging and saying, you need to change, but again, preparing for that witness by changing ourselves, living truly as Christ wants, so that we can take out that message, so that we don't lose any of the people in our culture. You know, the argument always goes, every family will have transsexuals in it. Really? Every family will have those who are gay. My family clearly does. And we should have a special love for them. The love means we want to take them to Christ, not throw holy water over choices that have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus and that are coming from a culture that follows Herod rather than John the Baptist's lead. It's a timely moment for us. John the Baptist's courage and his willingness to give a supreme witness to the faith shows us what's possible too, but we've got to be willing to step up. There are going to be Herods caught up in their lusts who aren't going to like the Christian witness. But we need to recognize that as soon as John the Baptist's head was chopped off, he was in the presence of God with eternal triumph forever. And that severed head will be reunited to his body and crowned with an imperishable wreath forever. That's what the Lord promises to those who are faithful. So we make our own the words God himself said to the prophet Jeremiah in the first reading. Gird your loins. Stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land. They will fight against you, but won't prevail, because I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. May John the Baptist, who lived these words, intercede for us, so that we might live them too with heroic courage. Praise be Jesus Christ.